Scripture reading this morning is from Psalm 63, 1 through 8, and that's different from your blue sheet here. It says, O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you, and my body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with the richest foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. On my bed I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. Because you are my help, I will sing in the shadow of your wings. My soul clings to you, and your right hand upholds me.
Train yourself to be godly. Train yourself to be godly. Train yourself to be godly. It doesn't happen accidentally. It doesn't happen that you stumble into godliness. It doesn't happen that one day you wake up and I'm godly. You train yourself to be godly. How does that happen? What kind of training do we do to be godly? Well, I'm glad you asked, because that is the series that we're in right now on the spiritual disciplines. But every time we talk about these spiritual disciplines, I want us to remember it doesn't happen accidentally. You train yourself. And today we're going to talk about singing as a way to train ourselves to be godly. And if there's anything about our fellowship, the churches of Christ, that people think about when they think about us, it's they sing a lot, right? I mean, am I mistaken there? Am I missing something? We sing a lot, and people recognize that about us. We are a singing tradition. But you know what? I don't think it's accurate that we have fully embraced the idea that singing, this thing that we're known for, is actually something that's training us to be godly. That's part of those spiritual disciplines that are shaping us into the image of Christ. A few years ago at Cascade, there was a seminar entitled, I can't remember the name of the seminar, but it was on singing, right? I put it together. I should remember the name of the seminar, but I don't. Okay. But we had Dale Tippins from Pepperdine who came up and he presented several lessons about singing. Oh, that's why we sing. That was what it was called. And one of a godly elder that I've known for a few years, and I really impressed with his spiritual life, told me afterwards, he said, I learned a lot of things, but the thing that I learned the most, he's been in the church for I don't know how many years, you know, a billion years, you know, as a Christian. He said, I've never thought of singing as a spiritual discipline. Never thought of it that way. I've thought about it as something we do as a command, and something we're supposed to do, but as something that's a spiritual discipline, hadn't thought about it that way. And that got me thinking about this idea. And I believe, this is sad because, especially if we're so well known for singing, but yet we haven't maybe fully embraced what it can actually do, there's still more out there for us to embrace when it comes to singing. And I think specifically in the way that it shapes us into the image of Christ. And this morning I want to point out several reasons why singing is something you and I and all of us together need to embrace and enhance as something that will train us to be godly. Make it part of your spiritual workout regimen. And there are reasons for this. There are three things I want to point out today. That is that singing builds community. Secondly, that singing transforms us. And third, that singing connects us to God It connects us to God. Singing builds community. One of the classic passages on singing is Ephesians chapter 5. If you want to turn there, we'll read this passage. Excerpts are going to be on the board, but you want to turn to the passage to get the whole thing. Ephesians 5, verse 18. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to focus this morning on the first part of verse 19 where it says, speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. There is something that's happening in singing, especially when we're together in this place, that we're singing and speaking to one another. There is a communal aspect of singing. And singing builds that community that is healthy. You know, we are in a world that is longing for community. A lot of social observers are saying something's happening right now with all the technological age, the iPod age, the cell phone age. I'm sure if we asked, all of you could probably hold up your cell phones because we're never very far away from them, right? And we each have our own ringtone that's specially designed for us. And maybe you have a specially designed ringtone for someone when they call you or whatever. We're very individualistic in many different ways. But at the same time, they're observing the fact that these social networking sites are exploding and people are joining them. 400 million people on Facebook. That's more people than in the whole United States of America. Right? That's a lot of people. They're looking for community. Well, guess what? Christianity is all about community. It's all about the fact that God has created a group of people that are His, and they have a special relationship with one another. They are close. They are family. And singing helps build that closeness. It can help make us close to one another and bind us to one another. Singing aids in building community. Now, if you don't believe me, think about, girls, would it impress you if that boyfriend came and he serenaded you, sang a song, he learned a special song for you and just sang it directly towards you? Would that make you feel close to him? I'm guessing yes, okay? At least that's what, on The Sound of Music, when they did it there, it kind of seemed that way, you know? I am 16 going on whatever, you know, the song. But other serenades too, right? You serenade that girl, boy, she's going to think, wow, that guy. And all of a sudden, there's a connection there. And singing, is because it's an act of intimacy. It's kind of this weird thing. You're opening yourself up to another human being. So, for example, have you ever been in a church service where the song leader says, okay, everybody stand up. Let's turn and look somebody else straight in the eye and sing to one another. Have you ever done that? Should we do it today? No? Okay. Why? Because it's kind of weird, isn't it? I love you with the love of the Lord. You know, you're looking for something else to look at, you know, because it's really in your face, right? But that's the point. I believe that's the point. I believe that's the point. God wants us to speak to one another with these psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. In a world that's longing for closeness with other human beings, in a world disconnected and shut off from their fellow man, singing runs completely in a different direction. Singing together, it's actually your lives are being melded with another group of people. Your individual voice, Al, is connecting with Mary Lou's over there when we sing together. And we could say that all throughout this building. And you know what's interesting is some secular people that are into music know this. I ran across this a few years ago. This fellow by the name of Brian Eno. Anybody know who he is? Okay, Brian Eno. Wow, okay. He is evidently a great songwriter. He's written for Talking Heads and for U2. You guys have all heard of U2, right? Bono, the guy with the glasses, stuff. Okay, he's a big songwriter in kind of that world that I don't know that much about, but it's kind of the music world. And he has started this thing in England where they get together in groups and they in pods and they sing together. They sit in circles and they just sing for like an hour or so. And I found this quote from him. It was on NPR. I heard this radio spot. I looked it up. And he talks about the value of singing. He says, when you sing with a group of people, you learn how to subsume yourself into a group consciousness. Because a cappella singing is all about the immersion of the self into the community. That's one of the greatest feelings, to stop being me for a little while and to become us. Us. If I were to ask to redesign the British educational system, I would start by insisting that group singing become a central part of the daily routine. I think it builds character, and more than anything else, it encourages a taste for cooperation with others. When you sing together a cappella, you've got to get along, right? Because you have to work together. And this secular songwriter, who's not a Christian, recognizes that. And we need to recognize that as well. Not because Brian Eno says, but because God has already pointed us in that direction. This just helps us see it from a different perspective. No wonder God has called us to sing, sing, and sing some more. Singing builds community. But also singing transforms us. There's a long tradition in Christianity, in the history of Christianity, of people recognizing the fact that singing has done something to bring people to God, and then when they're there, to change them. Augustine of Hippo, Brandon Walker is reading his book right now, The Confessions of Augustine. But in that book, he talks about one of the things that was influential in his conversion was when he went to hear the songs of the church. And they did something to him. He says, "Tears flowed from me when I heard your hymns and canticles." He's talking to God. This is a prayer to God. "For the sweet singing of your church moved me deeply. The music surged in my ears and truth seeped into my heart, and my feelings of devotion overflowed so that the tears streamed down. But they were tears of gladness." There are numbers of examples of people that have been changed and brought toward God because of what was seeping into their ears through the singing of the church. Now, we could probably do a poll in this church, and there are probably some of you that are Christians today because the first introduction you had to the church, you were impressed with the sounds of the singing, with the music, and that there was something in that that drew you to Christ. I know when I was in Portland, there was a man at the Eastside Church of Christ who's a very faithful Christian now, and he specifically says that was the thing that drew me in. Because he liked music, and when he heard the Christian music, it was something that transformed him. But you know, it also does something while you are in Christ. It transforms us after we have come to Christ. It does something to us. It revives our souls. Think about people like Paul and Silas. In our middle school class, we're looking through Acts. In chapter 16 of Acts, Paul and Silas, they're in jail. What are they doing in jail? They're singing and they're praying. I mean, as far as they know, they're getting ready to die. As far as they know, they're getting ready to be beaten again. As far as they know, their lives as they know it are done. And they're singing to God. And the other prisoners, they're listening. I don't think they're singing because they thought, well, this would be a good witness. I think they're singing to lift up their soul and have their own soul lifted up. I think of Psalm 42. "Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God." Even when you're down and you're in the dumps and you're not feeling good, you lift up your heart and your soul to God in singing. Because it does something. It transforms your mood. It can transform your day. And it's a great testimony as to the power of singing. When I was at Cascade, there were several days when I had a busy week and I didn't really want to go to chapel. Okay? And I'll admit that now. Okay? I guess they can't hold anything over me now. But anyway, I had papers to grade and tests to write and lectures to get ready for. And I didn't want to go to chapel. And I better go to chapel today. So I go to chapel, and guess what? Transformation takes place. Hearing those young people like Lindsay and Brandon and others lifting up their voices to God and pray, did something to me. And you've had that experience too. I bet you there's some of you that you came to church today and maybe you were kind of on the bubble as to whether or not you wanted to come. But you came, and those songs probably did something to you. They did something to me. That's the power of singing.
We could point to the fact that they're using singing therapy for people that have Alzheimer's, people that have other kinds of diseases, neurological. They use singing to help them. We could go on and on. We could also talk about the fact that singing is useful in instruction in the faith. In Colossians chapter 3, a parallel passage to Ephesians 5, take a look at that really quick. There's a slight difference in the way that Paul puts it there. Colossians chapter 3. He says this in verse 15, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God." There is a teaching aspect of singing. We are actually teaching one another. We could say that our singing is part of that worship to God, but it's also part of our education ministry here at the Kaiser Church of Christ. It's definitely part of the children's ministry. I mean, if we were to say to Bethany and the others, okay, keep doing your teaching, but don't do any singing whatsoever over there, it would really hinder you, because the kids love singing. That's part of what helps them learn those stories of Noah's Ark and David and Goliath and my God is so big and all of that kind of thing. We use singing. And it's not just for little children. It's for us as adults as well. It matters what we sing. And we preachers, we would love to believe that you guys, all through the week, you're thinking and mulling over the sermon. And, I think that happens a lot, I'm sure. Okay? I'm sure it happens. I believe it. Okay? But here's what I know happens. That sometimes you wake up Monday morning in the shower singing, "Rejoice in the Lord always, na-na-na-na-na." And guess what? You've been instructed. You're being instructed about your week. You're being taught, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say rejoice. This week, this day, at Kohl's, this afternoon, even though you'd rather be outside, "Rejoice in the Lord always." For again, I say rejoice. See, singing has that instructional aspect to it. And I'm okay with that. I'm good with that. It is part of that instructional aspect of the faith. Yeah, Alexander Campbell, we'll talk about this in a few months when we go over our modern church history stuff, if you come to that class. But Alexander Campbell, he wrote the first hymn book for the Restoration Movement churches. He was very insistent that we had a very good hymn book, because he said, what you sing is what you believe. What you sing is what you believe. It's where the instruction really gets out there. And lastly, singing connects us to God. People need God. The greatest human need is to be connected to the God who made you and loves you. Sin can't deaden our need for God, and people are seeking God now as they ever have. And I'm struck by the fact that singing is something that can connect us to Him. Is it a surprise that 150 chapters of the Bible are songs to God? Our songs, the Psalms, Israel's songbook is there because it testifies to our need to be connected with Him. And many of these songs are directly related to our walk with Him. If you look at Psalm 63 again, the one that Eric read earlier, this passage is just powerful. Singing straight to God, "O God, You are my God, earnestly I seek You. My soul thirsts for You. My body longs for You in a dry and weary land where there is no water." He's confessing his need for God and how much he wants Him. "I have seen You in the sanctuary. I have beheld Your power and Your glory, because Your love is better than life. My lips will glorify You. I will praise You as long as I live, and in Your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips my mouth will praise You." And he goes on. Singing connects us to God. It is if it's directed toward Him, it is, and I don't really know how to explain this, but it is something that can connect us to God. If you've been in worship and you've sensed God's presence in a powerful way in the worship, then you know what I'm talking about.
Some have reflected on this. Why is singing so important? And one of the things that people have pointed to is the fact that singing it's a fully human thing. It involves your will. It involves your heart. It involves the Holy Spirit working on you. But it also involves your body. You know, Tim said, I'll let you sit down now or don't want to wear you out. Where is he? There he is. Okay, there it is. Okay, sorry. I was thinking about that because I'm saying when you sing, you're actually working a muscle, right? Your voice thing in there, right? Mary Lou, help me. Okay, vocal cords, thank you. It's a physical thing that's happening, right? And they say when you stand up and there's a different kind of way that you sing, right? When they have choruses, I don't usually see them sitting down because they want to stand up so their body is in a particular way to get the most out of that singing. It's a bodily thing that's happening, but it's a spiritual thing as well. Something is happening in this, in your lungs and your diaphragm and your vocal cords all combined together. And then as a Christian, we believe the Holy Spirit is working in this experience. Our songs are offered to God, and as the psalmist says, the Lord inhabits the praise of His people. In some way, He inhabits it. Now we're really getting out there where I don't know how to explain that, but God is inhabiting the praise of His people. When you open yourself up to Him, and when you draw near to God, He draws near to you. This is a promise of James chapter 4. Draw near to God in singing. There are many other benefits of singing that we could point to, but I just want to encourage you today to embrace singing as the spiritual discipline that it is. Not simply because we're commanded to do it or because we don't have any other options. Embrace the positive side of singing. There are many, many more reasons for singing than simply to fulfill a command. We build community, we're transformed, and we connect with God. All of this takes place in our singing, or has the potential to. Daryl Tippins, Pepperdine, there's a quote in the Christian Chronicle. It just came out this week, if you're interested. You should read that article, because he kind of recaps some of the things that are in his book. But he closes off with this statement. If we want singing to thrive, not just merely survive, but thrive, then we must restore the joy of singing. Singing must be a powerful, transformative, experiential element in our lives. And let's embrace it as a spiritual discipline. Let's put it into the corners of our life so that it can help us be shaped in the image of Christ. During this series, I would like to exhort you, but also give you some practical suggestions. So here's the practical suggestions. Number one, sing during your family devotional time. Sing together, even if it's just you and your husband, okay? Just the two of you or whatever. Sing together. See what happens. Buy one of those song books. I found out they're only $5, right? If you say, well, I don't know the words, well, they're $5. They're like a Moca or something. You can have a song book that you use for the next 30 years in your family life. Is that a good Moca price? I don't know. Okay, good. I don't buy them. Kyle does. Anyway, sing whatever you can. Sing in the shower. Sing while you're working. Sing on your commute. Turn off the radio sometime and sing and see what happens. Maybe have your favorite hymn, the words to it in your car so that you can reflect on those things. Sing with your spouse and your kids. Sing with the church. Come ready to sing, ready to go. If there's anything in your worship time that's going to get in the way of your singing, maybe get rid of it, right? Things that might prevent you. Sit up straight. Throw yourself into singing when we're here together. We've got a really good singing congregation. I mean, you guys should know that, right? I've been around a little bit. We've got a good singing congregation. Let's make it even better. Everybody joining in. Start a singing group. Join a singing group. Sing, sing, and sing some more. Let's pray. Father, we love you, and we are grateful that you have given us so many good things. You've given us our voices, even those of us that wonder whether or not we can even sound good. Lord, we know that you're a loving Father, that when we squeak out those sounds to you, that they sound beautiful to you, and that you appreciate when we open ourselves up to you and you respond. I pray, Father, that we will embrace singing and make it something in our lives that we use to shape us into the image of your Son. Bless us, Father, now. And hear this song that we sing to you. And may you truly reign in us, O
over all the earth and reign in our own lives. It's in Christ that I pray. Amen.